Right, I'd like to read from the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, read from verse 39 to verse 56. Thank you. Chapter 1, verse 39 to verse 56.
Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would come, would fulfill his promises to her. And Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. For now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in the bring to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Thank you. All right, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this gospel, the four gospels, and today we are going through the Gospel of Luke. And so I pray the Holy Spirit will open the scripture to us that we may have understanding. And so, Lord, give us a greater desire for your word, the hunger and thirst for your word. And I pray, Father, Lord, that as I explain, Lord, the scripture, there is this increased understanding and there is this love to read your word more and more. And so I pray, Father, Lord, you anoint your servant to speak your word with clarity. Lord, without your anointing, I speak in vain. And I pray your anointing also be upon the hearer, that every word that they receive will be an encouragement to them. Lord, even though, Father, Lord, they may think, Father, like reading the scripture sometimes, Lord, they may think that it's a mundane thing. Lord, but there is something special, Lord, in your scripture because it's the living word of God. And I pray, Father, as your word is spoken, Father, it will inspire, it will lift up their faith, Lord. It will grant them wisdom. And Lord, whatever, Lord, the virtue that is in the gospel, Father, Lord, it will be imparted unto them. And so I pray, because your spirit, your word, Lord, is life and spirit. So as I speak your word, Father, Lord, let your life and spirit, Lord, be infused into the being of the hearer. And so I pray that you will come and do a special work in our heart. Holy Spirit, you take this word and make it alive to magnify the Father and the Son. In Jesus' most precious name. And God's people say, Amen. Amen. So currently, as you know, I'm doing a series of sermons expositing the Gospel of Luke. Now, in my last sermon, I exposited actually Luke chapter 1 from verse 5 to verse 38. And if you remember, I did a comparison and a contrast between the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus. And today, in this installment number 4, I will continue where I last stopped. And so I will do a verse-by-verse exposition from verse 39 to verse 56. Today, the sermon title is When Grace Leads to Praise. And so let me first give you a big picture, an overview of the passage that we just read. The first segment, actually, what I call Mary's Journey of Faith, is just two verses, 39 to verse 40. And then segment 2 is Elizabeth's Spirit-Filled Praise, from verse 41 to verse 45. And the third segment is what I call Mary's Magnifica, the Song of Praise and Worship. And so there are three segments, very easy to remember. Now, so let me help you to recap where I last stopped. Now, picture this scene with me. Mary, a teenage girl, aged between 18 and 19, just had a visitation from the angel named Gabriel. And Gabriel said these words to her, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and he shall be called the Son of the Most High." And Mary believed what the angel said, and she did not question God's power, but she just wanted to understand how the mechanism worked. And so Mary asked, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" In other words, how can this come about, since I have not had any sexual relationship with a man? Then the angel said, "The Holy Spirit of God will overshadow you, and she would become pregnant miraculously." And the angel reassured her further, saying, "With God, nothing is impossible." And Gabriel instructed her and said, "Go and see Elizabeth, your elderly relative is pregnant." And so see the miracle, the impossible made possible. And then suddenly, the angel Gabriel was gone. And Mary was left alone, heart pounding, the mind spinning. Did she dream it? Could this be real? Was she crazy to even think that God would choose her, a poor girl from Nazareth? But Gabriel gave her one sign. Her elderly cousin, Elizabeth, despite her old age, was pregnant. If that was true, then everything was true. Thank you. Now, we come to exposition of the various segments. And so, segment number one, if you can remember, I call it Mary's Journey of Faith. Verse 39 says, "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste," there was emphasis, "with haste, to a city of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah, and she greeted Elizabeth." Now, though not named in the Bible, Elizabeth's home is traditionally linked to a town called Ein Kerem, a 70 journey from where she was, about 113 kilometers, slightly more than the distance from Clarkson here to Mandurah. Now, church, picture this with me. A young girl, aged between 18 and 19, and she carried this secret that no one else knew. Because the angel Gabriel told her, "You will conceive and you will bear a son, and he shall be called the Son of the Most High." Now the angel was gone, the room quiet, her heart was racing. Was it real? Did I imagine it? Could God really choose someone like me? And so the angel had given her a sign, and Elizabeth was pregnant. As I said, he said, "Go and see." And the Luke tells us that she arose and went with haste. She didn't delay. She didn't wait to see what Joseph would say. She didn't wait or sit around debating the angel's message. She got up and she went. And so Mary made this journey about 70 miles, as I said, walking mile after mile, uphill, down the valley, dusty road, and then she has to cross River Jordan to avoid Samaria, avoid the hostile ground due to ethnic differences with the Samaritan, and then back to Jerusalem, through Jericho, and over the hills back downwards, westward, to this town called Ein Kerem, where Elizabeth lived. And day after day, she pressed on, carrying inside her the secret that would change the world. And so now, let me pause and reflect and talk about faith. So now, faith moves into action. When God speaks, faith obeys. And that's what Mary did. Let me give you an example of what I mean. When faith moves into action, you have to act. You cannot be passive. Example number one, Noah believed God and he acted. And Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7 say, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of the things yet not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. And God warned Noah of the impending great flood. Noah believed, he obeyed, and he built the ark. He did not sit around and wait for the great flood. He actually acted on it, on what God said. And so faith has got action. Example number two. Abraham believed God and he went. The next verse, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8 says, by faith Abraham obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. In other words, God told him the general direction, but not a particular or specific town. He said, somewhere here, move, let's say north. And he just acted on it, and he moved north. And so faith does not just sit around. It's not passive, but you have to act on what God had said. Example number three, Peter believed, and then he stepped into the water. And so, think of Peter stepping out of the boat and into the water without a guarantee. And he just got a word from Jesus. He said, come out of the boat. And so faith is not a theory. It is validated by action. In the same way, Mary obeyed and he acted on God's word, even though she didn't know what lay ahead of her. And so let me pause and ask you an application question. What God has told you that you have delayed doing? Maybe he has called you to forgive someone, or to reconcile with someone, or to step into serving God, or to share Christ with a neighbor, etc. But instead of taking action, you have hesitated. Mary responds here remind us that faith is not passive. It rises, it moves, it walks the 70 mile of obedience. So I want you to reflect, because God may have spoken to you something and you require an action from you. And now I come to segment number two. Elizabeth spirit-filled praise from verse 41 to verse 45. And verse 41 says, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greetings of Mary, that the babe in a lip in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, finally, Mary arrived at Elizabeth's home in the little village of Ian Kiram. And as soon as Mary entered the door to greet Elizabeth, something supernatural happens. Elizabeth's baby in her womb leaped, and then Elizabeth had a mini Pentecostal experience, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice what happened to her immediately. She spoke with a loud voice. Scripture make it a point to emphasize the word loud. When the Holy Spirit really fills people, they can get noisy and they can get loud. And church, when the Spirit fills you, you seldom stay quiet. And too many of us whisper when the Spirit wants us to lift our voice up in worship. And many of us worry what people will think if we lift up our hands, lift up our voice, or say hallelujah. Elizabeth showed us Spirit-filled praise is bold, is loud, is expressive. And some of us are terrified of being too expressive. Now, Elizabeth, she was 60 over years old, a respectable priest's wife. She broke every tradition. Why? Because the Spirit broke her. The elderly Elizabeth was unconcerned with society expectation or what might others might think. She allowed the Spirit to move through her. resulting in a powerful prophetic utterance. And Elizabeth, an elderly lady, then received a prophetic revelation. She saw something in the spirit. She understood, and then she prophesied things that didn't come from her mind, but from the Holy Spirit. And so Elizabeth prophetically uttered four statements. Number one, first statement, a statement of congratulation. Verse 42, it says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Now, in the Hebrew context, the first word, blessed, can be interpreted as a congratulation. Congratulations, you are the most blessed mother among all women. Now, Mary had just been pregnant for about a week or two, and so there was no outward sign yet. And so naturally, Elizabeth would have no idea of that young Mary was pregnant. And so how would Elizabeth know Mary was pregnant with the promised Messiah? Under the Holy Spirit anointing, Elizabeth knew and then spoke prophetically. And so one would also think that Mary the younger would congratulate Elizabeth first. But no, Elizabeth the elder was so excited to congratulate Mary first. And so the Holy Spirit reversed their role. To understand her excitement, we need to go back to the Old Testament. For centuries, the scripture promised a Messiah, a Savior to come. And so every Jewish girl had longed for this privilege to bear the promised Messiah. And then Mary walked in, Elizabeth knew that Mary was pregnant with the promised Messiah. And so there was this second utterance, a statement of utter or humble awe. She says in verse 43, "Why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth, under the Holy Spirit unction, recognized the Messiah Jesus in Mary's womb. And so she said, "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now again, their roles were being reversed. Though it was customary for the younger to visit the older, but in her Holy Spirit humility, or Spirit-filled humility rather, Elizabeth perceived the profound honor of Mary's visit. And she recognized that Mary's son as her Lord and her King. And so Elizabeth was the first person in history to call Jesus Lord. Before the shepherds, before the wise men, before the 12 apostles, Elizabeth recognized him. And that's what the Spirit does. It opens her eyes to see who that baby really was. And the Holy Spirit guided Elizabeth to address Mary as the mother of the Lord. And so here in the Bible, we get a right and a balanced view of Mary. Roman Catholic, often too high a view. Now Protestant, often too low. The Bible, perfectly balance, calling Mary the mother of our Lord. Yes, mother of our Lord. But what about mother of God? No, that implies that she existed before God. Now, she didn't. She simply birthed the humanity of Jesus, not his divinity. Now, what about the Catholic term called Redemptrix? Never. She never saved us. She only bore the Savior. Now Mary said of herself, "I am the maidservant of the Lord," totally surrendered. And Elizabeth was the first person in history, as I said, to call Jesus Lord even before the apostle. And so Mary was our Lord's mother. We must respect her as that. Not to give her unbiblical titles. And don't go further than what the Bible says. We don't pray to her. We don't erect statue of her. We simply call her the Blessed Virgin Mary. And yes, that is a biblical term. Now, because in the Bible, Elizabeth called herself blessed. And Mary, or rather called her blessed. And Mary herself said, all generation will call me blessed. Now we come to the third utterance of Elizabeth. It's a confirmation sign to Mary, affirming the words of the angel Gabriel. Verse 44 says, for indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ear, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now Mary must have asked, how did you know I'm pregnant with the Lord? Elizabeth replied, when you entered my house, the unborn baby inside me jumped for joy over the Messiah child in your womb. And so Mary sought one confirmation sign, and that is Elizabeth's pregnancy. But God gave her two signs. Elizabeth, with no way of knowing, spoke prophetically over Mary's womb. And the Holy Spirit moved, and John the Baptist leaped over the unborn promised child in Mary's womb. And Mary knew straight away, Gabriel's word had already come to pass. That moment was a revelation. God gave personal, unmistakable confirmation to those who seek Him, because nothing is too hard for the Lord. And then she also uttered the fourth statement, pronunciation of blessing for Mary's faith. And verse 45 says, blessed is she who believes, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And here, Elizabeth pronounced a blessing on Mary for her faith, for believing what the Lord said. And Mary was blessed, not merely because she carried God's promised Messiah, but because she believed it when it seems impossible. And so Elizabeth declared that true blessing is trusting God's word over your own circumstances. And blessing comes through faith in God's word. And God will never fail. When He speaks, He fulfills. Before I go into the next segment, let us draw the key application here. Now notice that Elizabeth discerns the significance of Mary's visit without being told, because she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the application for us, cultivate a spirit aware life, and so that you can recognize God's hidden work. Now the Holy Spirit lives in every New Testament believer, and He is our constant companion. And that is the privilege of New Testament believer. And so sensitivity must be nurtured through frequent prayer and immersion in God's word. Stay alert and sensitive to the Holy Spirit prompting inside you. Converse with Him all day long, just as you would with your closest friend or your spouse. Let's continue. Now, after Elizabeth's prophetic utterance and praise, it sparked off Mary's song of praise. Why is it called this song Magnifica? Because the Latin translation of the first verse, or the first phrase of Mary's praise, was Magnifica. Alright, that is to magnify the Lord. And that's why this song is called Magnifica. It's actually a Latin translation. And so, Elizabeth's praise actually set forth another on fire. Now, praise is contagious. Mary then burst forth and said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And notice that the praise is not about Mary. It is all about God. Because 15 times in this song, she mentioned God in this short song of praise. And so, church, number one, true worship magnifies the Lord. When you magnify the Lord, it enlarges your vision. And so, the problem is not that God is small. The problem is that our vision of Him is small. And we have this small God syndrome. But Mary says, magnify Him. Make Him big in your eyes. Bigger than your fears. Bigger than your problems. Bigger than your needs. And bigger than your challenges. And so how can we enlarge our view of Him? Now, always sing aloud and with life and with passion in your praise and worship of God. And do it during good times as well as bad times. Do it as a lifestyle. And over time, this will magnify your vision of God. Move into the next section. Mary declares four truths in her song of praise and worship. And the first truth she declared was God's salvations of grace. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. And for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me. And so after magnifying the Lord, Mary starts to celebrate God's grace by saying, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Notice here, Mary expressed the need of a Savior. In other words, she was not sinless. Mary was not perfect. And she was a sinner saved by grace, just like us. God used sinner saved by grace to carry Christ. And He used Mary to carry Jesus physically. And He used us to carry Him spiritually. Because Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so Mary also called herself the servant of the Lord. Not queen, not co-redeemer, not a mediatrix, simply servant. And this is a posture of worship. The great honor any one of us can take is being a bond servant of Christ. And she said, from now, all generations shall call me blessed. Now, notice that the blessing points not to her greatness, but to God's greatness. Because she said, for He who is mighty has done great things for me. And then, here's the truth. When God bless you, it's never to make much of you, but to make much of Him. And so, number two, God's holiness and mercy. Verse 49b says, and holy is His name, and His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. Now, Mary begins with holy is His name. And she did not begin with God's love, though God is love. Our generation, modern generation, wants a God of love without holiness. A God who comforts but never confronts. Now start with love on the wrong order and you will treat God's goodness as a right or as an entitlement. And that is why you hear people say, how can a God of love send people to hell? You start with holiness and you will cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Mary, under the Holy Spirit anointing, got the right order. She named God's holiness first. And because God is holy, His mercy is amazing. His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. And so do you fear God? Not a cowering terror, but a reverent awe that shapes how you live. A reverent awe, a holy respect. And that is where mercy is found. Fear of God is the doorway of experiencing God's mercy. Now, next, we come to God's kingdom of great reversal. That is the third truth from verse 51 to verse 53. Verse 51 says, He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. And He has put down the mighty from their throne and exalted the lowly. And so He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. Now comes the most radical part of Mary's song. And she declares that God scatters the proud, brings down the mighty, lifts up the humble, feeds the hungry, and sends the rich away empty. And this is God's upside-down kingdom. The world values power, wealth, status. And God will turn or overturn it all. Because the proud will be humble. The humble will be exalted. The hungry will be fed. And the rich will be emptied. Now this is not just poetry. This is prophecy. And Jesus teaches and embodies this reversal. He teaches that the first shall be last. And the last shall be first. The meek will inherit the earth. Not the aggressive. And to be great, He says that you shall be least and servant of all. And so this full manifestation will reveal in the millennium and the eternal kingdom. And it looks like when we all get to heaven, you will see many, many surprises. And so let me ask you, where do you place yourself in Mary's song? Are you pursuing worldly power to make yourself great? Or are you pursuing worldly possession, pride, and status, and fame, etc.? Now beware, because God will bring down the high, the mighty, and the proud, and the super rich. And are you humble, hungry, and desperate for grace? Rejoice, because God will eventually lift up the lowly. And then the fourth part of her song, she declares God's faithfulness. Verse 54 to verse 55. Mary closes by praising God's faithfulness. Verse 54 says, He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And God had promised Abraham a son, a nation, a land and a blessing for all, to all nations. That was 2,000 years earlier. Generation came and went. Empire rose and fell. But God had not forgotten. And now, in Mary's womb, the promise was being fulfilled. The long-awaited Messiah had come. God remembers and God keeps His word. And dear friend, if He remembers His promise to Abraham after 2,000 years, He will remember His promise to you. And so, church, God remembers. He remembers His word. He remembers His people. And He remembers you. You may forget Him. You may wonder, but He never forgets. And He who had begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. Verse 56. And Mary remained with her, meaning Elizabeth, about 3 months and returned to house. Now Mary stayed with Elizabeth 3 months to help and to serve her. Then she went home alone to face Joseph, to face the village and the gossip. Because she had been away 3 months and now she began to show some sign of pregnancy. No press conference, no defense, no explanation. Mary trusted God to do the explaining of the virgin conception to Joseph. Now Joseph almost divorced her. The village probably shunned her. And the rabbi questioned her. But Mary, silent and steadfast, she carried the secret, the greatest secret in human history. Not in a ward, not in her womb, but in her heart and in her womb. Two women Elizabeth and Mary. They carried the future. And it all began in the home, in the kitchen, with a shout, with a lift, and with a song. And so, in closing, number one, God doesn't need your ability. He needs your availability and surrender. Mary was ordinary. Elizabeth was barren. But both were chosen. Both were used. And both changed everything. Nothing will be impossible with God. And what is your impossible? Your barren place? Your long walk? Your silent obedience? God is still in the business of giving life where there is death. You think you are too young? Remember, Mary was just 18 to 19. Or too old? Remember, Elizabeth was in her late 60s. Too poor? Mary was poor. Too unknown? Nazareth was also unknown. A backwater village. Or too ordinary? All of us are. And so number two, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. I repeat, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. What womb are you carrying? Not necessarily a baby, maybe a dream, a vision, a message, a movement, or a testimony. In God, only you can birth something. Because only you have endured the pain. Only you have walked the miles. Only you have waited in silence. Let the Spirit fill you. And don't be afraid to shout. And let your soul magnify the Lord. And rejoice in His goodness. Rejoice in God your Savior. Sing your Magnifica. Even if your voice trembles. And even if they mock you. Even if it takes 3 months or 30 years, God remembers, He sees, and He acts. You are not forgotten. You are not disqualified. And number three, avail yourself and surrender to God to do great things through you. Holy is His name. Go, walk your 70 miles. Refuse to give up. Show up and knock on the door. Number four, let your life, however ordinary, display the upside-down kingdom. To be first, you need to be last and servant of all. To be exalted, you need to be humble. To gain your life, you have to lose it for God. And to go up, you need to come down. From generation to generation, God is faithful to His word. And He is holy and He is good. So may your life magnify Him always. And may you be blessed by this sermon. The Lord bless you. Amen. Amen. Amen.